In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you on this Friday, on this obligatory memorial for some incredible saints, martyrs, who gave their lives for the faith. And so honored to be here in Midland, Texas. I was able to deacon at Mass at Our Lady of Guadalupe today. And our saints are Andrew Kim Taejon, who was a priest, and Paul Chong Hsiang, and their companions who were martyred. And I'm here in Midland, Texas, at the studios of Guadalupe Radio Network, a longtime partner of EWTN. And in fact, I found out that this is the very first Guadalupe Radio Network station that was established right here in Midland, Texas. So I want to thank Sammy Rodriguez, who's sitting across from me, and making sure everything goes okay with the broadcast today, for his generosity, allowing me to do the show from the studios. I'm actually in the studios here at Guadalupe Radio Network. Of course, I want to thank Toya, a longtime friend and manager, and some of the staff here who I've met, Lisa Martinez, thinking Anita Montez is here, and you know, for making me feel so welcome here at the network. So, you know, again, this is why we need to support our local Catholic radio stations, especially those like Guadalupe Radio, who are such wonderful partners with EWTN Radio. And the reason why I'm here is I'm speaking at the St. Andrew Men's Ministry Men's Conference. So this is the first annual conference that they've had here. And how this came to be is funny. So last night, in the rectory, they were telling me that one of the guys from the parish came back from a men's conference, and the father asked him, how was your experience? He goes, it was okay. And father said, that answer was unacceptable. We need to do something ourselves. And so they got together and been planning for over a year, almost, I guess, close to a year and a half for this conference. Again, they decided to name it the St. Andrew Men's Ministry Men's Conference. And the theme this year for the first annual conference is a call to be a warrior, a call to be a warrior. And so the reason why I'm excited to be here, first of all, I'm glad to be back in Midland, Texas today. Again, the last time I was here was 2017. I spoke at a Fishers of Men, which is their annual fundraising dinner, and I gave the keynote address there. So that's the last time I was in Midland. But I'm excited because the main speaker is not me, which is awesome. It's actually Jim Caviezel. And Jim is actually has arrived. I haven't got a chance to meet him. Oh, actually, I met him, like I mentioned, at Mother Angelica's funeral. If you remember, I was I had the great honor and privilege of being the deacon of the word and reading the gospel at Mother Angelica's funeral, and I met Jim Caviezel briefly afterward at the reception. And so I'm sure I'll get a chance at least to say hello to him. But I get to be the opening act, which is cool. So, you know, I'll go on, and then he'll go on after me, and then he's out. Because I talked to his agent, his booking agent for speaking events, who I've known for a really long time. And he said that Jim has a few events like this one, and then he's going off to film in Morocco next month. So I'm excited to get a chance to meet him. In fact, they have 1,100 men. Now they're talking about 1,200 men, and probably even more than that. They even said women have signed up, and then they realized it was a men's conference. So they said, can we dress up as men and come? So the organizers are saying, like, no, here's some other things you could do while your husbands are attending the men's conference. So so excited to be here for that. So please keep us in your prayers for the success of this conference, and that men are truly moved to become the men that God created them to be. Not just settle for mediocrity, not just go with the flow, but to truly be courageous, heroic men. Again, this this the theme of the conference, a call to be a warrior, and we need warriors to stand up and defend the beauty and truth of the Catholic faith. You know, so we need men to lead, because how's it work? Strong men, strong families, strong church, we take back the culture. Right? And so so please pray for all of us. It actually starts tonight, but Jim Caviezel and I are speaking tomorrow. So please pray for that. We're going to have adoration and confession. It's going to be awesome. And if you're in the area, it's not too late. Please stop by. There's plenty of chairs set up. In fact, if you go to my Facebook, for lack of a better word, fan page, I hate that word, fan page, but that page and Instagram, you'll see I have a video from the venue there. I'm also very excited today because of the launch of my video course for the Emmaus Academy, which is part of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Now, yesterday we did a show on online learning, right? And one of the best institutes for online learning is the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, started by Scott Hahn, right? And his wife, Kimberly, started the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. And it's been a tremendous, tremendous blessing and resource for so many people. Oh, Mike Aquilina was the third founder, Mike Aquilina. The three of them founded the St. Paul Center. It's been a tremendous way for people to learn and grow in their faith. You know, and so I would encourage you to go to the Emmaus Academy. They have a number of courses there. Again, not for academic credit, anything like that, but just to learn and grow in your faith. And this is really important because next week, one of the shows I'm going to do is on OCIA and that process. And so what do you start off with? You start off with not with introducing people to dogma or doctrine, but to, now, why are you even here? The whole point is to go into deeper love and intimacy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be in a dynamic relationship with the living God. That's the point of OCIA. We got to fall in love with Jesus, entering into a relationship of deep, intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion. Well, these courses through the Emmaus Academy at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology are designed to do just that, to bring people to a deeper love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are tremendous courses there. They have a course on the evangelists, which are the gospel writers, by Dr. John Bergsma, who's phenomenal. A course on the Eucharist by Dr. Lawrence Feingold, who's awesome. His books are just mind-blowing. We have Introduction to St. Paul by Dr. Scott Hahn. We have a course on the sacraments. There's a course on how to study the Bible. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. And so I'm excited because a course that I recorded is being released tomorrow on the Feast of St. Matthew. And my course is Evangelizing with Scripture, right? It's about using the Scripture for effective evangelization. And so I'm very excited. So again, if you go to my social media, you'll see videos on there. Actually, it's the actual video preview for the Emmaus Academy course, again, called Evangelizing with Scripture. I'm going to have more on that as I get more assets. I'm going to be posting things all over the place about that course. And I'm going to have a chance with the Australian speakers because we start that tour on Monday. This Monday, we go on the road for 2 weeks on the East Coast of the United States, bringing people to a deeper love and intimacy with Jesus through three phenomenal speakers from the country of Australia. One of the stops is the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. So, I have the grace and blessing to be on their advisory board, and I've not seen the new building since it was opened. I've seen it under different phases of construction during my visits to Steubenville, but I've not seen the completed building. So I'm excited to see the new building, and I'm really excited to announce the launch of my course with the Emmaus Academy. Evangelizing with Scripture is going to be available for everyone, right? So I'm excited. If you want more information, just go to stpaulcenter.com. That's stpaulcenter.com. And just click on the Emmaus Academy, or you can just get / Emmaus beaconoftruth-academy. And you can see the page there with all the different courses that are available, including my course, which again will go live and launch tomorrow. So I'm very, very excited about that and really excited to be collaborating with Dr. Han and Kimberly Han and Mike Aquilina and the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, doing tremendous, tremendous work. Well, today on the show, we're talking about finding joy in suffering. I know that seems to be like, wait, what? Finding joy in suffering? How you can do that? We're going to talk about that. Would love for you to be part of the program. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You just got to get funky. A little bit of 70s disco feel there as we move into the weekend. I like that. By the way, Ace is going to be gone for a couple days. He's taking some family time. We all need that time to spend with our family. So we have Charles Beery filling in today, producing the show. I love working with Charles again at the National Eucharistic Congress. Charles and I were sitting side by side as we did the show live, Beacon of Truth Live from the National Eucharistic Congress. So it's great to be working with Charles again. Again, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and we're talking about finding joy in suffering. That's the topic for today's show, finding joy in suffering. Now, how could you possibly find joy in suffering? Because we think about suffering, it's about misery, it's about becoming despondent, it's about pain, it's about sadness. But there is a joy in suffering. Why? Because we're uniting it to the suffering of Christ. And that's what we're talking about today. Because when we're doing God's will, that's where our joy comes from. Not necessarily our happiness. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. We've talked about this on a previous show. That joy is internal. Happiness is external. Comes from the outside in. Joy comes from the inside out. And when we're doing God's will, whatever that God's will is for our life, that's where our joy comes from, even if that means suffering. That's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you, your experience of maybe experiencing joy and suffering or uniting your suffering to the suffering of Christ. The phone number to be with us today is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I want to remind you about a Pro-Life Pulse. That's the EWTN Pro-Life Pulse show is your weekly recap of the top pro-life headlines moving our nation and world that the mainstream media has missed. And you know that's true. You know, they're not going to be, sadly, they all have agendas, and they're not giving us the truth about the pro-life headlines. So again, listen to the EWTN Pro-Life Pulse. Just go to EWTNnews.com/pro-life. That's EWTNnews.com/pro-life and sign up today and stay connected. All right. Well, when you hear that music, that could only mean one thing. It is time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where we break open God's word in the Sefer Telachim, or the Book of Sung Praises, which is the Jewish hymnal, if you will. And we explore the depth and the beauty of how God is speaking to us in and through these beautiful prayers and hymns, which we hear, of course, at every single Mass. You know, even as a weekday Mass or a Sunday Mass, we hear the Psalms, right? Even if there's only one reading, we always hear the Psalms. So this is our time to reflect on it. Remember, you can download the Soulful Psalms as its own podcast. Go to podcastcentralewtn.com or to Spotify or iTunes. And, you know, I have them both on my Spotify and my iTunes. And in case people ask me, where do I get it from? I can show them right on my phone and listen to the Soulful Psalms. All right. So today, we're diving into Psalm 74. This is a fairly lengthy psalm, so we're only going to be able to do the first seven verses or so. And so 74 is in book three, which are from 73 to 89. And Psalms 73 to 83 are written by Asaph. So Asaph in Hebrew means gather. So 73 to 83, then 84, 85, 87, and 88 are by the sons of Korah. 86 is by David. And then also 88, sharing with the sons of Korah, are one of the Ezrahites. Again, the Ezrahites are a clan within the tribe of Levi. You have Haman for 88 and Ethan or Nathan for Psalm 89. All right, so we're diving into Psalm 74. The prescript is very simple, a maskil of Asaph. So a maskil, well, today in contemporary Judaism, maskil means enlightened one or scholar. But again, we don't know exactly how these words in the prescript, what they meant back at the time that these psalms were written, like 1,000 years ago. We don't know what that word meant then. And we've talked about this before. There's several other words that are used in the miktam, that we don't know what those words translate to today. All right, a miskil of Asaph. And it starts off, why, O God, have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger blaze at the sheep of your pasture? Now, I'm thinking here, Asaph is thinking back to David's Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. So the Lord is supposed to be shepherding his people, right? Leading the ewes with care, right? But now they're experiencing, this is, again, I think the psalm was written during the time of the Babylonian exile, King Nebuchadnezzar. And so now the people are looking back, and they're asking, Lord, why have you cast us off? Why is your anger blazed at the sheep of your pasture, the sheep that you're supposed to be leading and guiding, but your anger has risen up against your sheep? And it continues, remember your flock, which you claimed long ago, quite because God is the shepherd, the tribe you redeemed to be your own possession, this mountain of Zion, where you make your dwelling. Right? So they're saying, look, remember, Lord, You have entered into this relationship with us as our shepherd. You have redeemed us and we become your possession. We are supposed to be the ones that are supposed to bear witness to your love and your truth to all the other pagan nations around us. And we know that your dwelling has been set up on Zion, which is the holy mountain of the Lord. Right? So we know that the Lord is supposed to be with us. It continues in verse 3. Turn your steps to these places that are utterly ruined. The enemy has laid waste the whole of the holy place. Your foes have made uproar in the midst of your assembly. They have set up their emblems as tokens there. They have wielded their axes on high, as at the entrance to a grove of trees. So now Asaph is explaining the situation. He said the enemy has come. He has enslaved the people. He ruined our buildings. He desecrated our places of worship. They put their emblems up. They took our emblems down that are supposed to be focused on the Lord. They put their foreign emblems up. They said they wielded their axes on high as to a grove of trees. Like when you go in and you kind of clear cut down a bunch of trees, that's what they've done to our people. So they're equating that to like lumberjacking, right? Very powerful images here, because they're seeing this. Here is what happened to us, Lord, as if God doesn't already know, right? But why did this happen? We talked about this before. Why did this happen? Because they're, again, supposed to be the witnesses of God's love to all the pagan nations around them. But instead, they've chosen to think and act like the pagan nations around them. Right? They've fallen away from their worship of the Lord. They've fallen away from following the Lord, from doing his will. So the Lord says, well, look, if you don't want me to rule over you, then Babylon will. Here you go. And bam, here's what happened. So now they're lamenting. Look, Lord, look what's happened to us. They brought it upon themselves. You know, and the same thing happens in our lives. You know, when we think we're God, right, when we fall for the lie of the devil in Genesis chapter 3. Remember when he said, you will not die, For God knows when you eat of it, the fruit of the tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. You don't need God. You're your own God. And wherever we start to, because that's the mantra of the culture that surrounds us, this pagan culture that surrounds us, right? This godless, confused, broken, hurting culture that wants nothing to do with God. We Catholics are supposed to be the ones standing up and witnessing to the power of God's love to this world. But are we doing that? Come on. Are we afraid to stand up? You know, I think some of us are. I think we just kind of go with the flow. We just kind of like, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. And we get to this political correctness and we wonder why we're in the mess that we are in our culture and in our church today. And we need to be like the martyrs that we celebrate today. Andrew Kim Tae-jong and Paul Kim and their companions who died rather than deny Jesus. They bore witness to the faith. Look, the word martyrdom, right, means witness. And we are called to witness to the beauty and truth of our faith. And when we don't, God says, what, you don't want me in your life? You don't want me to be your heavenly father? You don't want me to be the shepherd of your life? Okay, the culture will. And that's what's happened. Sadly, that's what's happened. And so the same lament that the Israelites are experiencing, we experience that ourselves as well. Verse 6, they have broken down all the carvings. They have struck together with hatchet and pickaxe. So think about that imagery. They're taking these axes, a hatchet is like a short-handled axe. And of course, we know what a pickaxe is. That's when you dig into the ground and scrape. And they're just hacking away at all the things that the Jewish people held in esteem, that they held to be important. In verse 7, I love this. Oh God, they have set your holy place on fire. They have raised, right? So not raised like raised up, or R-A-Z-E-D. That means to tear down. They have raised and profaned the abode of your name, right? So not only have they desecrated our cities, they've desecrated the place where the Lord dwells. And how do we do that? Where's the Lord supposed to dwell? Yes, in our church, but also within us. And when we look at pornography, and when we engage in contraception, and we have sins against our bodies, what are we doing? We're raising and profaning the dwelling place of the Lord. What does St. Paul say in 1 Corinthians 6:19? Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have within us from God. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And so glorify God in your body. Instead, we cover ourselves with so many tattoos, you can't even tell what color the person is. We pierce our bodies with all this stuff to try to find meaning and purpose. When our meaning and purpose comes from Christ, it comes from that deep, intimate, personal, loving relationship with the living God. That kind of love that Andrew Kim Tae-jong and his companions gave their lives for that we celebrate today. And with that same passion, with that same fervor, with that same conviction, we Catholics need to stand strong against this culture, not to acquiesce to the culture, not to be placated by the culture, not to make people happy or make people feel good. We're here to bring the truth. And what is truth? That's not even the question. Who is truth? Jesus Christ, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, we're talking about finding joy in suffering. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Beacon of Truth, right? Great R&B, little funk music to get your head bobbing and your feet moving as we go into this weekend, right? It's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad. And why not rejoice with some funky music? I love that. All right, we're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And again, I just want to say a big thank you to the folks here at Guadalupe Radio Network in Midland, Texas, where I am this weekend speaking at the St. Andrew Ministry Men's Conference. I want to thank again Sammy Rodriguez Jr., who's the president of Guadalupe Radio Network here, and Lisa and Norma and Anita and all the folks here who made me feel so welcome and were able to bring you the show live from the Guadalupe Radio Network station here in Midland, Texas. So grateful to them for their help and assistance. And just want to also remind you that today, what are we talking about? We're talking about finding joy in suffering, right? Sharing the cross of Jesus Christ in our everyday life, because that's where the joy comes from. We're going to talk about that today. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also like to say congratulations goes out to our longtime EWTN radio partner, Domestic Church Media, serving New Jersey, my home state, go Jersey, with 4 a.m. and FM stations, 4 a.m. and FM stations. They are celebrating 16 years with EWTN. So congratulations, Jim and Cheryl Mafredonia and their great team at Domestic Church Media, from your friends here at EWTN. Boy, I love hearing about our partners out there, our brothers and sisters sharing in the EWTN story by broadcasting this network at their local Catholic station. So congratulations, you guys, and know that my prayers are with you. All right. So let's get into it here. So finding joy in suffering. So remember in the Last Supper discourse in John chapter 6, as Jesus preparing to leave the Last Supper and go to the agony of the garden to begin to begin his passion, he talked about the glory of the Lord. He goes, Father, give me the glory that I once had when I was in heaven with you. Because remember, he's the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And before he was Jesus Christ, he was the word of God. And as it says in the prologue of John's gospel, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? So the Lord in John 6 is seeking this glory. Now, how does that glory come? It has to come through the passion. It has to come through suffering. So the glory involved in our redemption is that the redeemed Christ is active in us and that the power of the risen Christ enables us to suffer and to share in the passion and death of Jesus Christ. So when we suffer with Christ now, we know that one day we will share in his resurrection. See, that's where part of the joy comes from. Because look, everybody is going to suffer. I don't care who you are, what faith you are, everybody at some point in their life is going to suffer. Now that suffering is going to look different for different people. Some people will have deal with cancer or some other kind of illness. Some people will have chronic pain. That means they wake up every morning in pain. They live that whole day in pain. They go to bed in pain and they wake up the next day in pain. So chronic pain or chronic illness. Some of our brothers and sisters are dealing with mental illness, with depression, or with schizophrenia, or with bipolar disorder. You know, so some of us may lose a spouse, right? So suffering looks different for every single person. How are we going to suffer is going to, again, ultimately part of the unfolding of God's will for our life. But what we do with that suffering, that's the key. See, because in our culture, they don't do anything with suffering. Suffering is meaningless. Suffering is something to be avoided. But you can avoid it. Because every single person is going to suffer. So the culture, here's their response. We want to avoid suffering because it's meaningless. So we avoid it. So that's why they have euthanasia, right? So euthanasia is when the doctor or someone from the outside takes your life. Will you allow them to take your life? Assisted suicide is when you take medications to kill yourself, right? So euthanasia, assisted suicide, all these different things against a culture of life are designed to avoid suffering that they find to be meaningless. But for us who share in Christ's redemptive suffering, say no, that's not the way to look at it at all. It's not about avoiding suffering that's meaningless. It's about finding meaning in the suffering that's unavoidable. See, that's the key. So suffering with and in Christ is suffering not for the sake of nothing, but for the sake of manifesting the kingdom of God, right? So that prospect of the kingdom of God being fulfilled in the world is linked to the hope of the glory, which has its beginning in the cross of Christ, right? So the glory that God is, that Jesus is referring to in John's gospel, is the glory that comes through suffering. That's why St. Paul says that the suffering of Christ, his redemption work, redemptive work has been perfected by suffering, has been perfected by suffering, right? So the cross of Christ and the glory that comes from that cross was not obscured by the immensity of his suffering. Although he took all the sins, right? We say he's the Agnus Dei qui tollit peccata mundi, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? So those who share in the sufferings of Christ are also called to their own suffering to share in his glory. See, so suffering is not meaningless. Suffering is the pathway to glory, right? Paul says in Romans, we are fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, right? So the inheritance that Jesus received because of his suffering, which is what? Life without end. He rose from the dead, never to die again. So he conquered death. So in order for us to share in that redemptive work of Christ, we have to suffer with him, is what St. Paul is saying in the Romans. So that we, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. See, that's the purpose. We suffer in order to participate in the suffering so we can participate in the glory. That's where our meaning comes from. So we're talking about finding joy in suffering. We'd love to hear from you. How did you find joy or at least peace in suffering that you've gone through? Maybe you're going through something right now and you're struggling with how to accept this suffering by the Lord, this cross that God has put into your life. Would love to hear from you. Or maybe you've carried that cross well and now you understand the purpose and you see the joy because now you can see the redemption that's coming. Now you can see with the eyes of faith toward that glorification and the resurrection of Christ that we're also going to share in. Would love to hear your experience. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, Paul continues, Peter continues. He expresses this truth when he talks about in his first letter of Peter. But rejoice insofar, again, rejoice, insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. See, that's what we're talking about today. So look, what I'm not saying is, oh boy, I can't wait to suffer, but I just can't. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody. I mean, unless you're sadistic, like, please make me suffer. I can't wait to experience this excruciating pain. I mean, come on. I mean, but look, suffering is going to come. It's what we do with it. But recognizing in that suffering, I am sharing in the suffering of Christ because I'm anticipating, as we heard Paul say, and as we just heard St. Peter say, that the glory of the Lord will be revealed to us in and through that suffering. Right? What does St. Paul say in his second letter to the Corinthians? For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Right? So the suffering we're experiencing now in this physical, bodily, earthly way is anticipating the glory that's beyond anything we can ever imagine. And Paul says, why? Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Ah, see, that's what gives us our hope as people of faith, right? This is how we find, again, not joy meaning happy, but joy meaning that in the suffering, God's will is being done. In that suffering, I am being perfected, right? We talked about this. We talked about the show on purgatory. And the souls in purgatory, what is their purgation? It's removing the last remnants of concupiscence, the last remnants of those things that separate us from the love of Christ, holding on to those desires, those selfish desires that we hold on to that cause us to sin. Those are burned away because it says in the book of Revelation, no sin can exist in heaven, not even the desire to sin, because all we want is Christ. And suffering is the way that we prepare for that. Because look, if we're going to suffer on earth, and most of us are going to be suffering in purgatory, right? So suffering is all part of this, participating in the cross of Christ. Again, would love to hear your story of how you shared in the suffering of Christ. Maybe how you found the joy in suffering. Okay, you have not enjoyed suffering. Let me be clear. We're not talking about enjoying suffering because nobody enjoys suffering. What we're talking about is finding the joy that comes from the suffering, because that joy is leading us to a deeper intimacy and the glorification of the risen Christ that we all hope to share in one day. That's what we're talking about on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're going to Ellie calling from KS. That's Kansas. Calling from somewhere in Kansas. And thank you so much, Ellie. Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, hello. Thank you for your message today. I needed it.
Oh, well, God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. So, would you like me to share my miracle?
Absolutely, please.
Okay. So, my youngest son, Connor Jake William Thompson, was 24 years old. Sorry, 20 years old. He would be 24 now. And he had an accident. And he went into the Boulder Canyon in Colorado. He was a CU student studying business. He was a junior at the time. So on 12/12/2020, he was rebaptized because he actually drowned in his father's car. And
wait. Did the car like go into the water? He was in the car?
Correct.
Oh, wow. Oh, please continue.
Yes. Highway 119 is treacherous. There is no cell phone service in that area. I've gone up and down the canyon, you know, five times to just check every half mile. Is there service? So the story is from five other friends is that he was going to see the Christmas star. So it was a constellation year in 2020. Mm-hmm. It's 12 days before Christmas, and he is going to view Saturn and Jupiter, the constellation that allowed men to find the baby Jesus. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's still with me.
Yes.
Within 24 hours of his death, I understood absolutely that all there was gratitude and love from my Heavenly Father for me and my son. And that's all that mattered.
Wow. Oh, that's so beautiful. And, you know, I can't think of a deeper pain for a parent than losing a child. You know, because we all think, all of us who have children think that our children are going to outlive us because that's the way it's supposed to be. And you went through the suffering like the Blessed Mother. She was there at the foot of the cross, had to watch her only child suffer and die. And you went through that. But the joy that you found, now, okay, that was not a joyful experience, like happy experience, but the beauty of how you just articulated the joy, all there is love, right? And that's beautiful. And I hope that every single person listening takes that insight into their hearts and into their lives, especially when they lose someone that they love. Ellie, what a tremendous blessing you have been to us today on Beacon of Truth. And I thank you for sharing your story. And please know that when I pray Vespers tonight, I'm going to remember the repose of the soul of your son in my prayers. So thank you for that, Ellie. Well, we're talking today on Beacon of Truth about finding joy in suffering. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Glenda calling from Colorado, listening on Sirius XM 130. Glenda, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Most welcome. What would you like to share with us?
I was calling mainly because after 14 years of being married, my now ex-husband, you know, he met someone at work and decided that that's where he wanted to be. And even though we got married through the church, our faith values didn't quite align. It was very hard for me. It was at like the height of COVID, and I have two small kiddos who needed me more than ever. What I didn't realize was that when, you know, because through this hard moment, I kept asking myself, why me, God? Like, what did I do wrong? And after taking time to reflect and really, really thinking about it, I realized that I stopped going to church. I worked like an obscene amount of hours to keep us like financially well. And my life really just started to revolve around my husband at the time. Mm-hmm. And after he filed and for divorce and moved out, or he moved out and then filed for divorce, I made it a point to have my kiddos finish up their sacraments, which they did. I'm very, very proud of them. I took some Lectio Divina classes, and like I really got back into my faith. And my son, now 14, he's an altar server. He does it every Sunday. My daughter sings in the kids' choir. I help teach faith formation to first graders. And we are now more involved than we ever have been in our faith. And out of something so like dark and sad, I found such beauty and love, and God is love. And I'm so grateful that, yes, it's hard, but at the same time, I'm so happy that God had to open my eyes in a tough way, maybe, but that I found our faith again, and we're, you know, we're as involved as much as possible, and just teaching my kiddos that, you know, sometimes human beings will let you down.
Yes. Yes. Amen. And I totally understand that too, because my parents are divorced, and when my dad left, I helped my mom take care of my siblings, you know, and it's tough to go through something like that. But, you know, ultimately my dad came to faith in Jesus Christ at 74 years old. And so, so God does find good out of suffering. Sometimes we find it in this life. Sometimes we'll see it in the life to come. But Glenda, so incredibly grateful for you sharing your story of faith and hope Because your story, Glenda, will give listeners hope that are in the same situation that you're in. I love this. So this is why we do this show, right? For beautiful calls like that. We're talking about finding joy in suffering today. And let's go to Denny in South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 130. Denny, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello. I was calling, you were asking about how you found your way through some suffering.
Yes.
And I have to say it was through my wife who has MS. Mm. And she used to take a medicine on Friday night. She would give herself a shot, or I would give her a shot. And she would be sick, like she had a very severe case of the flu, until Saturday night. Mm. And one Saturday I went up to bed. She had been in bed almost all day. And, you know, I'm back and forth. And she said, I said to her, some days it just doesn't seem fair. And yeah. She said, you can't say that. And I said, why not? She said, because just look around. There's a lot of people that have a lot more problems than we do, and we'll get through this. And no big deal.
Wow. Gosh. I mean, what hope, what confidence in the Lord, deal with MS. I have friends whose parents had MS, so I've seen kind of that progression. And just the hope in your wife's voice to, you know, she's in the situation, she's telling you to encourage you. You know, wow, God's so beautiful. You know, and sometimes it's through other suffering that we can understand what that joy is, because we experience it ourselves. Love that call, Denny. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And let's also go to Diana, calling from San Antonio, Texas, listening, of course, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Diana, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Beacon. I just wanted to, I have a couple of minutes and I wanted to share my story. I had a child when I was in college, and I was in a very tough relationship. His father was, he was abusive. We were not married. I suffered a lot. I remember crying a lot during that time, especially when I finally decided to separate. And I remember at that time just feeling just the sadness, right, the pain. But I fast forward now, many years later, my son is in eighth grade. I finished college. I'm an engineer. I met my husband at when I graduated college, and my now husband, and we married. We have two more children, and some days I just reflect back on that suffering, and I just feel so loved. Like, God's love was there for me back then, and it's still there now. And sometimes, like, even in adoration, I'll just feel like my heart is so full. Like, it's so full of His love, and it's just overflowing. It brings me to tears just to think of that.
Oh, beautiful. Now, Diana, let me ask you this. Would you feel the same way had you not gone through your suffering experience?
No, I don't think. I think I would take so much for granted if I had not gone through that experience.
I love that. That's the point, Diana. I was hoping you would say that, because that is, I love that. That is exactly the point. Because sometimes when we're going through something that's really difficult, what is going on? What is God doing? I don't understand. But now look at Diana's beautiful situation. That situation and her understanding, I mean, not understanding what God was doing, but now looking back in retrospect, now I see what God was trying to do in that suffering experience. She said in adoration, her heart is full. She's full of joy. She looks back with beauty and love. Right? That's what we're talking about, this finding joy in suffering. Man, what a great call to end today's show. All right, well, Monday we're going to talk about the Shroud of Turin. right? We have a holy year coming up next year, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the shroud is supposed to be on display next year. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.